Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2023 Home Education Conference held in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so to boost science learning, start early. Even this little, you can start, huh? Early experiences with science can help children develop the problem-solving skills that they need for life. Okay, so science is more about than, you know, when you think of science, a lot of times you think of like high school science, right? You dissect things, you do experiments, you do all this stuff. But when kids are little, everything is an experiment, right? As little as an infant, they're putting things in their mouth, they're exploring, everything is an experiment. Okay, so the concept of organization is something that they learn through science at a young age. For example, sorting things. A lot of times kids, when they reach a certain developmental level, you'll start seeing them like line cars up in a line, right? That is a natural thing that they start to do developmentally. But we can encourage those types of things, right? Sorting leaves, sort them by color, sort them by shape, sort them by size, sort them, you know, go out and find different things out in nature, sort them by texture. This all helps them to learn organization skills. Kids can experience cause and effect. Okay, one example is by growing a plant, right? Starting with the seed, planting it, or my favorite is instead of putting it directly in the dirt, putting it in like a Ziploc bag with a wet paper towel so they can actually see the process of the seed opening up and growing. And then once it gets some roots, then you can put it in dirt and water it and nurture it, right? So they're seeing the cause and effect. I don't know if anyone overheard the boys' class. They were like putting cars down a racetrack, right? That's another cause and effect. Building blocks. They tip over. Cause and effect, right? So these are all things that you can do from very little ages. And you can ask questions like, what do you think will happen if we do this, right? If we make the ramp higher, what do you think is going to happen? Is the car going to go farther, right? So just kind of guiding their learning, but working with their natural curiosities is using science. With children, you can explore the concept of scale by using tools to compare, measure, and weigh. So a balance scale is a really great thing to use with smaller children. And I used to have one, but now my kids are getting older. I didn't have the preschool balance scale anymore, so I couldn't bring it. But just, you know, measuring the different things. Which one do you think is heavier? Put something in one side and then put something in the other side and see what happens, right? You can kind of maybe make something. Sorry if I'm make something. This is a weird setup because I have my thing over there. But make something, you know, like a teeter-totter type of thing, right? Or at the playground, doing a teeter-totter. And I'm seeing, you know, which is heavy, what goes up, what goes down. The exploring the idea of change, right? Water that freezes and then melts or evaporates, right? Boiling the water, seeing what happens. And you can do that with a lot of different materials. How do they change? Talking about how leaves change in the fall, right? Collecting the leaves as they fall to the ground, comparing them. You can look at pictures, right? Because if they've all changed, you might not have very many green leaves, but you can also compare them then to evergreen leaves. And then talking about, well, why did these leaves change and these leaves didn't, right? It's all about asking questions. Kids ask a lot of questions, right? And as adults, we can guide those questions and ask questions of them as well to get their little brains thinking. The act of arranging or sorting objects, which I kind of talked about in the organization, right? Sorting by color. And this can be nature things, or it could even just be their toy cars. Their, buttons, big buttons. Of course, make sure, you know, that it's appropriate for the age of the child, okay? But I have, like, some really big buttons that are around 3 that they can't fit, you know, choke on and no better than to put them in their mouth. Having them sort buttons. Using pipe cleaners and putting all the, you know, matching different colored pipe cleaners with different colored buttons, having them put them on. Because then you're also working on the fine motor skills. So that's one thing when it comes to the small children, is it's not just science. Everything is incorporated into science. They're not just learning science, they're learning all the skills, right? Through observation, children learn about structure and function, the links between how things look or act and what they do, such as tape holding paper together because it's sticky. Playing with tape. Something so simple. I actually saw something the other day where a lady was talking about when they go on trips, her favorite thing to bring is painter's tape. And she's like, a lot of people have asked me about this painter's tape. Why do I say painter's tape? And then she said all the things why she uses it. And then she was like, and it also entertains the kids. Look, you can tape their car to the back of the seat in the airplane, or you can, you know, all these things that they're playing with, and they're learning about the stickiness of tape, what tape can do, and learning science concepts. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit, those are all the things that we can, that the kids learn from doing science. But let's talk about ways to incorporate more science into our daily lives, right, and into our homeschool. So number one is we need to value our children's questions. And yes, this can get overwhelming because they ask a lot of questions. We need to try our best to really listen to those questions and engage with their questions and help them figure out the answers to those questions, right? So some examples of questions you might get from 2-3-year-olds, right? Why does it rain? Why does our neighbor look different? Why does it snow? Why is the sky blue? How much salt is in the ocean? How do airplanes fly? How do birds fly? Why do I need to eat vegetables? Why can't I sometimes see the moon during the day? Why do birds fly south in the winter? How far away is the sun? How are rainbows made? Right? So lots of questions that kids come up with. So what do we do when we get those questions? First off, it's okay to tell your child, I don't know. We don't have all the answers. But we can say, I don't know, let's find out. Let's see what we can find out. And we have so many resources right at the tip of our fingers now. My kids, as they're getting older, kind of skip me and go straight to Alexa to ask their questions when they have something they want to know about, okay? But we're able to still explore that more, right? See what Alexa says, look into that more, find books, go to the library, look up educational but appropriate videos. There's lots of ways to get answers to these questions. Do experiments. There are experiments available that have to do with rain, right? That you can easily find. There's a experiment where you put, see if I'm remembering correctly, hot water into a jar, and you put like a lid or a some type of a covering on it, and they're able to see the, you know, the steam come up and then drip back down, right? And that's how we get rain. You put ice, oh, that's what it is. I knew there was ice involved. You put ice on top of that too. So then it cools the air and it makes it drop back down. Okay, so there's lots of experiments that can help us figure out the answers to these questions. Oh, I pushed the button too soon, sorry. But most importantly, we want to encourage our children to ask questions, right? So we have to listen to those questions. If we dismiss their questions, eventually they're going to stop asking. So we need to be really careful about that. And even if we don't have time right in that moment, we can say, oh, you know what? That's a great question. And as soon as I'm done with this, let's look into that and see, you know, what the answer is. Or that's, I love that question. I'm going to work that into our homeschool curriculum, and we're going to, you know, figure that out. So you don't always have to drop what you're doing right that second and answer their questions, but still encourage that question asking. Okay, exploring and finding out together. So like I said, it's okay to say that you don't know. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think it's important to admit when we don't know things, so that kids don't think we know everything. Because when they get older and find out that they don't know everything, you know, they might feel inferior because we did, or they're going to know, well, wait a minute, something's not right. I thought mom and dad knew everything, right? Put the question back on them. Get their gears thinking, turning in even more. Well, what do you think? you know, what do you think? Where do you think rain comes from? Right? Why do you think the sky is blue? And then we can go from that, right? And look up more answers and figure it out. Okay, so I did put some pictures of my own in here that I could find. I do have a blog, and I'll give you more information about that at the end that has some of the activities and stuff that we've done when my kids were little. So this is my now 17-year-old right here. So these pictures are really old. But give the children time and space to explore. So you can see here, I gave them magnifying glasses, and they are out in our front yard just looking at everything. This is when we lived in Hawaii, so slightly different environment than what we have here. And they, I think in particularly at this time, they were looking at like bug habitats, right? Trying to find different bugs and insects that were living around the yard. But they found all sorts of cool things. A magnifying glass is like one of the funnest things for a little kid. And a lot of times, I think this one was from the dollar store, right? So it's an inexpensive tool that you can get, and they just have a blast with it, right? Looking outside, even at things inside. And it really piques their curiosity. But yeah, just giving them that time. Like I talked about this morning, I think some of you look familiar, were in my class this morning, that sometimes it's okay to just take a break and say, hey, we're going to go outside today. Handing them some magnifying glasses turns this into a science lesson. Okay, you're still schooling. You're still learning, but it doesn't feel that way. And the kids are having fun. Right? So just asking them questions as they explore and searching with them, right? Becoming part of spending that time with them and looking with them makes a huge difference as well. Okay, now this is a hard one for me, but you have to accept that explorations are often messy. I messes stress me out, and so this is a hard one. But I really try my best. If something's gonna be extra messy, you can take it outside. This is back when I was much thinner in Hawaii. But this was a sticky disaster mess. But outside, that's okay, right? It's not gonna matter. This other one over here was done somewhere else, not at my house, which is even better. That's one reason I love co-ops. They get to do all sorts of messy stuff there, and I don't have to deal with it. But this is just oobleck, right? The cornstarch water. Kids love it. But apparently, if you didn't know, there's a cornstarch shortage right now. Because my daughter asked me the other day to buy some. She wanted some oobleck, and I could not find it anywhere. So I Googled it. It's a thing. It's a shortage. Lots of people have been making oobleck, I guess. I don't know. Here is like shaving cream. This is actually an experiment that they're doing about rain, and this is at a co-op or some other, I don't remember, a class maybe that they're in. So the shaving cream on top is the clouds, and then they're dropping stuff down in. And then this one, just playing with water. Water play is a great science experiment as well. We have a water table that my oldest got when he was 1 year old. We still have it and use it on a regular basis, and it's an outside toy. But they have lots of fun with it. Playing with water is one of the best. Putting them in the bathtub, right? You need a break, put them in the bathtub for a little while. Let them play, give them some cups and measuring things and funnels, and they have a science fun. Okay, learn from mistakes together. Mistakes, this is one of the reasons why I don't like science when they're older. Because you get those very complicated science experiments and you have to follow all these steps, and then I feel like they never work. So science when they're little is a lot easier because you don't usually end up with things like this. But when a mistake happens, it's a good learning tool, right? You can go back, look over the steps again, see where maybe we made a mistake. Same thing happens with math problems, right? When you're doing math with your older kids and like, hey, the answer is not right. Why is it not right? Go back, we figure it out. Right? This teaches them that it's okay to make mistakes, and it teaches them problem solving, right? How can we fix this? And then sometimes we watch the video to find out what's supposed to happen because it just doesn't work for us. And that's okay too, right? We didn't fail. Science can be finicky. Invite curiosity. Now, this is something that I tried to do a lot of when my kids were little. So just like setting up, like I have up here, just a variety of things that they can explore. I was kind of a big Montessori person when my kids were little. If you're familiar with Montessori, they usually have like trays with different things that the kids can go and get the tray, do the task, play around with it, and then they pick it up and put the tray back. So I did kind of a version of that, not exactly, but we would have a theme of some sort, and I would just put together different items for them to explore during the week. So even this, let's see, he was probably, I don't know, 12 months old here. This is just a basket of squash. Bumpy squash, smooth squash, some corn on the cob, like all the dried Indian corn, some that had kernels on it, some that didn't, right? And he was able to feel and explore and play with these different textures, and we would talk about them. This one up here, just different magnets, and this was something, the only thing I really had to purchase here were these magnets, empty water bottles with just random stuff in them. You know, is it magnetic? Is it not? And unfortunately, I didn't have the bottles to bring anywhere, but I have like paper clips in this one, cut up pipe cleaners in this one, some jingle bells, some BBs from a BB gun. Make sure you glue the lid on right so they don't accidentally get in there. And then they just run the magnet up and down the side and do all sorts of really cool stuff with it. It's lots of fun. You can also put them in like a liquid material, kind of like this one, and then they're able to, you know, find it, it pulls it to the side, and it just gives another element to the science. And things like this also can be used for babies, right? Just make sure that the lid is secured, that you have it glued on there well. And this contained, I'm sorry?
Like if I, you can get them at Michael's. Like what would I call that if I were?
This, I would call this a discover, this bottle?
Like, yeah, the, like, it's the same thing that you have up there.
Yeah, they're just empty water bottles.
Just water bottles?
Mm-hmm. I just got these. These ones are a little thicker, like this certain brand. I think it's like Voss or something. Yeah, they're just thicker bottles. But I mean, you could use this one's, oh no, this is the Voss one. Like just a regular water bottle works too. They're just a little more crinkly, but then that adds an element of stuff too.
They sell those at Michael's, but they're a little bit taller, but this is the same kind of hard.
Oh yeah. Yeah, these ones just kind of hold up a little better. But if you get like one of the cheaper water bottles, I mean, those work too. They're just, those, they're going to crinkle them and make noise and stuff with them too, but that's adds to the discovery, right? This one here is just a magnetic discovery bin, where I just put a bunch of that paper confetti and then just random items in it. And so they dig through, they find items, they touch it to the magnet. Is this magnetic? Is this not magnetic? And then I had them sort it out, which you'll see in another slide. Magnetic, not magnetic. This one down here is just rice that I dyed blue. A bunch of shells that I got like at the dollar store in one of those little decorative baskets. And then I found this cute little toy hermit crab that I threw in there too, just as an extra element. And then I printed some pictures of shells with the name on them. So they can dig through and find the shell and then try to match it to the picture, right? Which shells match. So you have, it's kind of a bit of a math, you know, matching as well. There's words on the cards and you can, These are called three-part cards, and sometimes I would use them in three parts, and sometimes I just use them in one. So you get two sets of the same card, and on one set you cut the words off to make it three parts. So they can, when they get a little older, they can also match the word. So they have the one card that's the picture with the word at the bottom. They can say, oh, this is the shell that matches. They can find the other card that matches and then find the words that match the words. So there's a language element there as well. That's how they're designed to be used, but you don't have to use them that way, right? There's freedom to use them however you want. And these, a lot of times you can find free online. You just have to print them off. All right, support further exploration. So again, with those science shelves, unfortunately I couldn't find a better picture of ours, but that's our science shelf over there when we were doing like a bird unit. And so all of those containers have bird's nests in them that we have found that I had just kept. I put them in little airtight containers and they have the little magnifying glass and they can go and look at them. In addition to the bird's nest, we have things like a wasp nest that they could look at also, right? So you just want to make sure One, that nothing's living in it. Two, that you can put it in a container so that they're not able to, if they're younger, you want to make sure they can watch it without destroying it, right? And each week, I would have different themes kind of based on their interests. And sometimes the science shelf would stay up for a whole month because it was something they were really interested in, and I would just keep those things there because it kept their interest. When they started to get bored with it, then I would switch it out with something else. Okay, encourage children to record their observations. So as they start getting a little bit older, you can have them do simple things like this one, where I kind of guided them through. This one is non-magnetic. You could even like put a picture at the top with like a red circle with a line through it, right? So they know this one means no, this one means yes. And they can sort the items that they found in that one bin. You can have art be a way. So when we talked about metamorphosis, the butterfly life cycle, we used pasta to have them represent that. And they were able to put that in art form. You can just have them draw. In the top right over there, we made like a blood sample, what it would look like under the microscope. And then he drew it, what he saw on the paper there. This one down here is fingerprinting, looking at different fingerprints. And so he puts the fingerprints on the paper and using the magnifying glass, he's just examining them. He was probably kindergarten or first grade here. And we were using like a curriculum, so these pages were provided, but this is something that you could easily just come up with on your own. Anytime there's something that your child observes or that they make mention of, you can ask them, do you want to draw a picture about that? You know, do you want to draw what you saw? Or would you like to tell me what you saw and I can write it down for you? Or both, right? They can draw a picture and then they can tell you about their picture and you can write it down for them. Some type of an art project as well. So some can be their choice if they want to make a recording of it. Others you can encourage when you have a setup, something like this, that they can do themselves. And it depends on the child. My oldest did not like to write, and most of my boys did not like to draw. So they were like, no, I don't want to. And that's okay too, right? So that's why I would do some things like this, where they were able to kind of, still get that that observation recorded without having to do too much written work, because that was not their thing. Make good use of your electronic devices. So we are blessed or cursed with technology, right? So technology can be used for good, and I think it's important to teach our kids how best to use the technology. So for things like taking pictures, that's another way they can make observations. My kids a lot of times will run and go get the iPad. Oh, I saw this cool thing. I want to take a picture of it, right? Something outside. And I definitely encourage that. You can also use different apps for learning. There were apps that we used to help them learn the periodic table, even when they were in elementary school, because it was fun and engaging. And so it kept their interest. There's apps to help with programming at a really simple level, right? So you just kind of have to use your judgment, but don't be afraid to incorporate technology, because that's kind of the way the world is going, and it is a benefit for them to be able to know how to use it, and we want them to know how to use it properly, right? So definitely recommend using electronic devices. Use items you have at home. Okay, you don't have to spend a fortune even on curriculum for young age. You can easily use items that you have at home. Okay, so there's that water table that I mentioned that we still have. It's been 16 years we've had that water table. Here's just a simple sink or float experiment that we were doing in the water table. And just like that magnet or not magnet, I had little strips above here. Floats or doesn't float. Okay, so they would just put things in. One time we did it with, for like a Halloween-y type project, we used fruits and vegetables. You know, like small pumpkins, carrots, all sorts of different things like that. Does it float or not float? And yeah, just sort it out. Here for astronomy, you've probably seen this as a rather popular project, but just using Oreo cookies to do the phases of the moon. And again, I have those three-part cards, but I'm just using one part of them here so that they can mimic the picture with their Oreos. The celery and food coloring experiment, very simple, but the kids love it. And choosing different colors, because the different colors affect the plant in different ways too. Having them draw what happens and then talking about that. Why do you think that happened? Right? Why does, like, red usually kind of kills the plant, or blue makes it kind of a pretty, you know? Why do you think that is? And looking into that more. This one is always a popular one, ice and salt. Super simple. Actually, I recently did this in another, in our co-op, but in the ice blocks, I froze ice age animals, like, you know, like, I don't even, whatever, it was the Magic Treehouse book that we were doing, and so I froze a bunch of animals from the ice age in the ice blocks, and then I gave them salt to try and get the animals out. It kept their attention for the full hour. Putting salt and trying to get these animals out of this block. I honestly had other things planned because I didn't think it would keep their attention. Kept their attention for the entire hour. Here I have the salt dyed in colors. So they're dumping the colors on too, so you have that added element. And then the color mixing, what color are they going to get? It's amazing. Something that simple really keeps their attention. And then you can talk about, you know, why does salt melt the ice, right? We use salt on the roads when it snows. Right, so they're learning about that. The one on the far side there is just, I bought a bag of nuts and a nutcracker. Working on fine motor skills, cracking the nuts, opening them up, comparing the different seeds inside. Another one that kept their attention for quite a while. Right, simplest activities. Didn't cost hardly anything. The divider plate there I got at the dollar store. All right, integrate. And this is what I was talking about. Science doesn't have to be just science when they're little. It really incorporates everything. Unit studies are a really great way to teach the younger kids. You pick something that they're interested in, and you can incorporate all sorts of activities to include math, language, science, based on that one subject of their interest. So find out what your kids are interested in. They'll let you know, right? They ask questions about it. They talk about it nonstop and build on that. When they're interested, it's fun. And it helps build that, you know, they don't, when my kids were little and I said, okay, come on, we're going to do school. It was, I don't want to do school, da 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 da. But if I said, hey, look at these ice things that I made. Let's try to melt them. Oh yeah, let's do that. That's fun, right? And they do it for like an hour. So it's all about our presentation and how we approach it. And when they're interested, they're going to want to do it. Unit studies, like I said, is a big thing that I would do. We did, like when my oldest was in kindergarten, I would incorporate activities at the younger kids' age as well. But we would focus, for instance, if we did mammals, right? We would pick different mammals and focus on them for a while and just provide different activities for all age groups. Like I'd make a, make a bin with like different elephant toys, right? And they could sort them by size, biggest to smallest to largest. We had a lot of toy animals because one of my kids was very fond of toy animals. We have bins and bins of toy animals, so that could always get worked in. Here is a couple examples of units that I did. That's all pretty simple materials, inexpensive things you can print online. So like this one over here for fall, I just had like some cloth leaves that you can get like at the dollar store. And they would roll the dice and then count the number of leaves, you know, to match on the tree. So you're incorporating math. We would talk about how the leaves change, right? So then we're incorporating that science in there. We'd go on a nature walk and find different colored leaves, sort them by color, sort them by shape. I print off, again, three-part cards. Just Google three-part cards, whatever kind, and you can find all sorts of online for free. I have several on my blog, too. And then we'd match the shapes of the leaves to the three-part cards, things like that, and figuring out what trees they're from. And as they get older, you can make it a little more complex. This is the sinker float that we did with the fruits and vegetables. Carrots. I think it was the carrot that sunk. Everything else floated. So, I mean, that was something that was kind of fun. These here are scent jars. I know, are there any oily people in here? I just use essential oils in a cotton ball or spices from the spice cabinet and just put a couple, you know, scent. No, they're inside. So you just pop the lid and on a cotton ball inside and let them smell. And then, so there were different, you would have to match the smells. So like I'd have one of each on each side and then they'd have to match. Oh, these two are the same or these two are different, right? And in this case, they were all scents that you use in like pumpkin pie. So it was like nutmeg, cinnamon, those types of things, just to go with our pumpkin theme. Here we carved a pumpkin and we took out all the seeds and then we did pumpkin seed math. So he would roll a dice and have to add up the seeds. This one's kind of fun. So he's fairly little here. I just gave him a brush and some Q-tips and a bowl of water, and he's cleaning the pumpkin. Okay, so they're learning life skills too, right? While exploring the science. I miss when they were this little. Like, not grown up. This one is measuring the pumpkin, just using some of those like cube blocks that link together, measuring how wide is it, how tall is it, those types of things. So you got math in there too. They were so cute. I'm done kind of quick. So I do have here a QR code if you want to take a picture of it, that I have several science activities on a Google Doc that you can use. We've done some really cool things. I'm trying to remember what I put on there. Probably one of our favorite things, we did a unit study on rockets and we made a rocket launcher. I don't know if you've ever seen those like stomp rockets where you can stomp and it takes off. We made our own out of PVC pipe and a 2-liter bottle. And so I have the instructions on how to do that online, and that was so fun for my kids. You make the rocket out of like a magazine page, and then yeah, the PVC thing with the 2-liter, and you just stomp the 2-liter and it shoots way up in the sky. So I have that on there and a couple other things that we've done that are just lots of fun, as well as a link to my blog where you can find lots of unit studies that we've done. I have lots of printouts on there that we've done too, or that I've made. That are available. So I don't know, is there any questions that anyone had about science with their kiddos? You're welcome to come up here too and see just some of the stuff that we have. Unfortunately, like I said, since my kids are getting older, I don't have as many of the little kids stuff anymore, but we have to, it's the very last page, Chestnut Grove, yep. Chestnut Grove. I have not, it's all old stuff. I don't blog anymore, but it's all still there from when I did blog. This is leaking. Books are also great. I have several just science themed books. This one's really cool about computers and coding. It's like lift the flap books. This one is a flashlight book that you can shine a flashlight behind the pages and find. And there's actually someone downstairs selling Usborne books. They are a great, great tool. I sold Usborne books because I wanted to have all these books. And so I sold it myself for several years when my kids are little. Another book series that I really like that you can easily get at the library too are the Let's Read and Find Out Science. So if there's something that they're interested in, you can get one of these books, you read the book, and then it has like questions and usually activities that you can do at the end of science experiments. And anything that you just find outside, like my kids will go to the park and they come home with these things. And I just keep them for like this. And this one still kind of freaks me out. This was in our yard. So yeah, somewhere in my yard is a big snake.
Did I miss the two water bottles?
It was leaking. I'm trying to fix it. So this is like a, why is it not working? supposed to be like a, there we go. This is dripping water everywhere. Yeah, so that's just something, you know, fun too that they can just play with. Of course, if I can get it not to leak. I think it's supposed to be 2 liter bottles. Maybe that works better. Different discovery bottles like this. Even with like babies, I would put, I had a seasonal set. So like one had like paper flowers in it. One had like little styrofoam beads for like snow. You know, so it represented all four seasons and the babies would play with them. These are something that are a little bit more expensive, but these are great too. These tubes, they have all sorts of, we have a ton, like I said, we have tons of animal toys. This one is human body parts. But sometimes having some of these things just available for your kids, like my daughter now, even now that she's older, but she'll be doing like an online class. Because I work now, we use a lot of online curriculum. But all of a sudden, I'll turn around and she has something like this out. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing my work. But she has put together like, oh, we're learning about body parts. I know we have these things. I'm going to go get them. And while she's watching the video about body parts, she's finding the pieces and putting it together, like putting them in order. So she's kind of implemented that, you know, on her own, making it more interactive of a lesson. This, if you want a book to use for younger kids, this is a good book that I recommend. It's called Mud Pies to Magnets Preschool Curriculum. And they have an orange one that's more Mud Pies to Magnets. And it just has a lot of the things that I talked about, like just in the book. So if for some people it's kind of more reassuring to have, you know, a plan to follow. But you can kind of flip through and it just gives lots of ideas. And it's all mostly things that you can get from outside or things you already have on hand, like without having to spend a lot of money. When I first started homeschooling, even having my degree in early childhood, I ordered a box curriculum. I opened the box and I looked through it and I said, I can do all this myself. Like, what? I was like kicking myself. Why did I buy this box? I returned it. And really, I think any parent can do a lot of this stuff in their early years themselves. Like, there's no need to spend hundreds of dollars on a box curriculum or even, you know, a specific curriculum when it's just exploration, just encouraging them to love learning, to explore. And the more that we encourage that, the stronger foundation really that is built, and the more that they continue to do that as they get older. So like I said, with my daughter, she'll run and get things to match what she's learning. My older kids will get a book when they want to know an answer to a question, or they'll ask Google or Alexa or whatever, right? But they know that there's tools that they can use to find these answers, and they're learning without having to have, you know, a checklist to mark each thing that they've learned off. And so I think that's kind of the most important, especially in the younger years. And that's one of the main reasons that I chose to homeschool. I mentioned before the standardized testing, that's definitely one of the reasons. The other reason is that in early childhood education, when you get a degree in early childhood, they talk about how learning should be hands-on. And early childhood covers birth through third grade. But the majority of kindergarten, first, second, and third grade teachers actually have elementary education degrees, not early childhood degrees. And they are taught differently on how to, and their hands are also tied because of the school systems and the way that they're set up. And I was like, you know, like I don't see happening in these classes what I was taught should be happening in these classes. And so my initial goal was, I'm just gonna homeschool until second grade. And now I've been doing it for 12 years, I don't know. But yeah, I was only gonna homeschool in the beginning because I thought I could do better. And then there were so many other reasons that got added on. We love the flexibility, we like the time together, you know, just all of these things. But initially it was because I wanted my kids to have hands-on learning that I didn't think they would be able to get in school. So that's just my encouragement to everyone, is just, you know, make things available for their for kids. Put things out, you know, so that they can see them. A lot of times, you know, we'll have cool things that are put away on shelves that we think, you know, later, oh, I should put that out, or oh, I forgot I had this. Put it out so the kids can see it. My mother-in-law is also an early childhood educator, and she has this coolest little shelf at her house. I asked her one year, I'm like, do you have a wish list for Christmas? Everything on her wish list was something she could put on the shelf for the grandkids when they came, like a kaleidoscope or, you know, different things. She wanted the kids to be able to explore and see things. We used to have like fur pelts or feathers and, you know, just all sorts of things that you find outside, bringing them in, letting the kids explore with them, taking the kids outside so that they can explore. And books, of course. I don't think I have to tell any homeschooler the importance of books, right? My friend, it's actually my friend that's selling downstairs. And I said, yeah, well, you know, homeschoolers, books are our weakness. I literally have, I don't know, I have like 10 bookshelves in my house and they're all full and overflowing. I have a really hard time getting rid of books too. So books, yeah, very important. These types of things that I have here, I just got these from Oriental Trading. They're like little cards that you can put out and talk about. They come, you can use clothespins. I think they actually came with clothespins and I just realized they're not in the box. But, you know, talking about heat, light, or sound, dryer. And they're self-checking. So if you're not available to sit with them, they can clip them and then they can check and see if they got it right. Little games. We have two favorite science games, but I didn't put them on the list because they don't make them anymore. And I didn't want to tell you guys about them and get you all excited and then you not be able to buy them. But games of any kind that are science-based are another way to really incorporate science for everyone. This is just like a guessing game. I'm the largest land-living animal in the world. I have very big ears. You know, giving all these clues, what am I? And then they guess. Obviously, you're not going to show them the picture while you're reading it. But yeah, science is just so important to build those critical thinking skills and, you know, get their brains churning. So that's all I have for you guys today, but I hope you'll utilize those activities. And you can still leave messages on my blog, so if you do something cool that you like, just let me know, because I'm always excited to hear from people. And that's all. Thank you for coming.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.